Another trend is renewable gas projects. These are what used to be called anaerobic digestion of hog and cow manure. We're seeing quite a few of these spring up at livestock farms in the Midwest. And they too are tapping into LCFS credits in California, low carbon fuel standard credits. They're not actually delivering any gas to the California market, but California has recently in regulations blessed a virtual structure where the gas is put into a pipeline in the Midwest, but then taken right back out in the Midwest. Pipeline companies are pushing back on calls at FERC for a technical conference to work out a national standard for responsibly sourced gas that can be put into the pipeline. Kinder Morgan has proposed that responsibly sourced gas put on its pipeline would have to be cleared by one of two certifiers and meet carbon emissions intensity of 0.2% or lower. Another trend, there are eight in total, is the first offshore wind project of any size closed on its financing, $2.3 billion in debt in September, and it is back out into the tax equity market this year, seeking a lot of tax equity. The next large projects will probably not come to market until 2024. An export cable issue that is in play at the IRS looks likely to be resolved favorably. The export cable is what brings the electricity to shore. That can be a $300 to $500 million item. You're talking about $90 million to $150 million in investment tax credits, depending on whether that cable qualifies. So far, it looks likely to be resolved favorably. It's been in play for quite a few years. A key lesson from the Cape Wind and Fisherman's Energy projects that did not get built is you really need to move quickly. Don't bog down on small issues. Move quickly before the politics change at the state level. And also at the federal level, a Trump sweep in 2024 would not help this market segment. Another trend, the new infrastructure bill that Biden signed in November would make it a little easier for FERC to override state objections to interstate transmission lines. If you've ever read Superpower, a book by Russell Gold, a Wall Street Journal reporter, about the travails of Michael Skelly trying to build interstate transmission lines through Clean Line Energy Partners, you know that even one local politician can shut down an entire line. The federal government, however, can only do this in national interest corridors. There are only two designated so far. The federal government also has been authorized to be an anchor tenant on new lines, sign up for capacity in the hope that that will help new lines get built. Biden has talked about using railbed rights of way to site lines rather than having to buy up lots and lots of private land. The Sioux Green Line, a 2,100-mile line between Iowa and Illinois, is a test of whether that will work. That's a high-voltage DC line. And then finally, of the eight trends, more M&A platform deals are headed to the market really this year. We saw a lot of them last year. Almost all such deals are using reps and warranties insurance in place of reps from the seller that survived past closing. The buyer looks to the reps and warranties insurance policy for payment if there are any breaches of the reps. There are invariably one or two things that come up that reps and warranties insurance will not cover and that the seller ends up covering. That those policies do not cover covenants. They only cover reps and warranties. The deals vary from those where a big company basically absorbs a platform, a development platform. And there are others at the other end of the spectrum where the platform is purchased by a private equity fund, maybe not 100% of it, but 80, 60, some percent. And the company continues to function as before. As many as 20% of reps and warranties insurance policies end up with claims. The most common claims are financial statement misrepresentations. Because it's a seller's market, the purchase price ends up being paid at closing in cash instead of partly as an earnout in most of these deals. The buyers who are interested in buying usually try to preempt an auction, sometimes right up to the deadline for the auction. bids to be opened by offering a premium that is just too good to pass up. We've seen quite a few sales on that basis lately. Most buyers at this point are focusing on employee retention because people clearly have become a scarce resource. If you have questions as I go along, just type them in. They'll pop up on a chat screen here. I'll try to work them in. Second part of this presentation is what's happening with the Build Back Better bill. That's a little hard to tell, and the panel following me will discuss this. But from where I sit, it looks like the prospects have dimmed. That's clear enough. But it also looks like it's not yet over. And I think the big mystery is why hasn't Biden made more of a push so far to try to revive it? The House passed in November. It's been 2 months. There don't seem to be any negotiations going on with Manchin. Joe Manchin, though, talks a lot to the press. He said yesterday that he repeated that he thinks the clean energy parts of this could be the core around which a deal can be struck. There could be a push to salvage something before the State of the Union address in Congress on March 1st. However, there is a lot on the Senate calendar between now and March 1. One is the federal government runs out of money on February 18. That's always a Perils of Pauline exercise to get it more money. And then there's a looming Senate battle over a Supreme Court nominee that will suck up a lot of oxygen. And that doesn't even take into account the possibility of a real war in Ukraine that could take up Senate time as well.